VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network. It is no doubt we live in perilous times, troublesome times, grievous times, but friends, also times of rejoicing. Sound like a contradiction? Well, today's program is going to bear this out. Prior to introducing our guest for today, I want to say how outrageous it is on a day in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who conquered death and offers salvation to all who place their trust in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, that the President of the United States thumbed his nose at our Creator God and issued a proclamation to celebrate sexual deviancy. While the truth of the resurrection was being celebrated, President Biden proclaimed Sunday, March 31, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. In the proclamation, he touted his actions of appointing transgender to his administration, allowed open transgenderism in our military, touted his defiance of God regarding our marriage laws, and called out extremists for proposing laws that do not allow the lifelong body mutilating of children. Friends, what he did is wrong. It is sinful, and in my opinion, a blemish upon this nation. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, followed through and lit up various New York landmarks in transgender flag colors on Resurrection Sunday. Niagara Falls, One World Trade Center, the Empire State Building, the Lake Placid Olympic Center, and other locations were lit to honor transgenderism. Further, the White House had invited the children of National Guard families to submit artwork for the eggs. However, the submission could not include any questionable content. What was that questionable content? Religious symbols or overtly religious themes. Friends, I want to say here at the beginning of the program, a reminder that God is not going to be mocked. We're going to reap what we sow. Scripture tells us it is righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And friends, this is sin. It's defiance against God. It's an example of how badly this nation, and frankly, how badly our world needs Jesus. And so I'm turning from these troublesome times to show you that God is still at work today in our world. More people than ever are being reached with the gospel message in countries all over the world, and for that, we rejoice. We're going to delve into this topic today of God at work and global media outreach. It's our privilege to have in studio Gene Sharp. Gene is a radio planting missionary serving with IBM, that's Independent Baptist Media, to carry the gospel around the world through technological means. Gene, thank you so much for joining us here on Crosstalk.
Yes, sir. My pleasure to be here.
I'd like to begin by hearing your story, first of all, because it's one in which, we're going to go back like 25 years, a quarter of a century, 1999. You moved to Papua New Guinea to install the nation's first Christian radio station. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but let's hear what was happening in your life. What took you to that point of saying, I'm going to go to Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I think one of the themes in my life is God works in areas and in unlikely circumstances. And I'm just raised next to a farm in rural Ohio. And I guess it would be identified with a village there called Castalia. It's not even a town. And my dad was an electrician. He was a Catholic man. And I was what you call a bus kid. I came to church on the bus. And it depended on whether they had a really good snack or not as to whether I was coming. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I first heard about the gospel. Of course, everybody in that area knew about the story about Jesus a little bit here and there, but that's when I remember the pastor sharing the gospel and the good news and sharing my need for the gospel. Definitely was talking about hell the night I got saved, and I remember knowing the Holy Spirit speaking to me very clearly as a young man that I deserved God's wrath, but there was a way out through Jesus Christ, and accepted Christ as my Savior, and the number one priority for me, I mean immediately, my dad needs to get saved. Mm. And I remember praying every single evening and talking to my mom about that, trying to invite dad. He was resisting and just being very concerned and burdened for my loved ones. And I think that's really what it's all about anyways, right? People who trust Christ and then having a burden for those who don't know Christ. And to God be the glory, when I was 12 years old, he started coming every once in a while, like once every other week. And And the morning he trusted Christ, he stopped at a grocery store. He's like, man, I've got heartburn. He never had heartburn. But it was the Holy Spirit working in his heart. And then I remember during the altar service looking up, I'm like, where's Dad? I was in between him and Mom, and there my really large dad was at the altar.
Praise the Lord.
And then to see our pastor baptize him later on after he trusted Christ, and just to see him follow the Lord, I immediately started family devotions. We had, even at that time in our lives, we had gotten rid of our television prior to that because my mom was kind of heard some messages about TV and the wickedness of media, right? Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, in the 80s or whatever. And Dad's like, ah, sure, we can get rid of our TV, even before he was saved. And so we turned then to a lot of Christian radio. We listened to a lot of Christian radio, and I grew up listening to great preaching on the radio. So Christian radio and media really affected me and shaped my theology, my politics, everything. So I'm a kind of a byproduct of that for sure in my own life personally. So then, you know, in church, trying to stay in church, and family was growing as far as our family, Mom, Dad, and I, myself. And you said yes to the Lord during a missions conference. I felt his calling to missions. And so went to prepare, but didn't have a specific country. And it really always bothered me. But I'm like, okay, Lord, you probably just can't trust me with that yet or whatever. And so went to prepare in Bible college. And at the end of my preparation time in Bible college, I still didn't have the exact country. I went to Russia for 10 weeks during a summer, Belarus and Russia, and enjoyed that and learned a lot, but still didn't have that specific finality to that calling. And was in touch with my pastor in Ohio. And of course, over the years, we went from listening to other people's Christian radio station to listening to our own, because we ended up getting a Christian radio station. Back in the day, you probably remember ACE was going around trying to help small stations start. And we had a 300-watt station and eventually got to 2,700 watts. But listened to our little Christian radio station, and was kind of always a goal of mine. I would love to work on that, but it was seemed like such a far thing and really wasn't my calling. But anyways, long story short, the Lord allowed me to work with our pastor, Pastor James Lewis, and post-Bible college now, just married, and started off as the assistant pastor, youth pastor, geometry teacher, radio station manager, all that stuff. And so great. It was just a great experience. And when you run into a leader who wants to make you a leader, or even if you are a leader, make you a better leader, that's what happened to me under my pastor. He let me preach every Sunday night, once a month, you know, once a month on a Sunday night, let me preach. And when there was a problem in the studio, like, you know, when we got to the studio, it was still carts and very basic, mostly all satellite feed. And he wanted to do maybe some local, and something would break, and I'm like, this is what we could do. And I'm learning, I'm looking at, you know, magazines, learning how to do these things, and we could do this. And I would dream with him a little bit, and he would get excited, and yeah, that's great. Let's do this. And we don't have the money, but he would dream with me about it, and we would find a way. And boy, as a young person, I think that gives you strength and vision for your future. If somebody of authority and somebody of experience invests in you and confidence in you. So great time of growing for me. And then, like you said, in 1999, so that was about 97, I started at the radio station in Ohio. And then, so 99, we took a survey trip to New Guinea, thinking still traditional missions. Like, this is radio was a nice thing to kind of get us experience before we could do missions. And then, but while I was there in Papua New Guinea, I was going to look up a kind of a mutual friend of a friend. We had always played some music from the John Marshall family. And there was a Marshall in New Guinea, and her husband and her were missionaries in Papua New Guinea. I'm like, I'm going to look up those folks. They were probably really good folks. And before I could call them, they called me. And I don't know, I can't remember how he got our information, but he's like, I want to start a Christian radio station. And I'm like, actually, I'm coming to New Guinea next month for a month. And so we met, and God knit our hearts together. We're still very, very good friends. We still work with the Bradwells family quite a bit. But he's now in Washington, D.C., planting a church there. But he was there 20 years in New Guinea, and the Lord opened the door and provided the finances for us to go there and help install that nation's first Christian radio station. And so that's a miracle in and of itself. Again, total noviceville here in me, you know, just a young guy who's like, yeah, and a missionary who's like a year older than me saying, let's do this. And then somehow somebody cut him a check for the entire amount, and we went back and bought some DAT tapes and you know, older technology, but good microphones and mixers and consoles and transmitters. And literally when we went there, we had 17 Rubbermaid containers, the 45-gallon ones, 17 of them. So it's my wife and I and our 12-month-old child and 17 of these containers. And everybody is like, you know, you're going through customs, and God just let us all through. And so we had a layover in Australia. In fact, the customs agents helped us carry all those things to a temporary storage.
My.
Didn't open one of them.
Mm-hmm. My.
And so it's amazing.
So just a miracle in itself that the license was available to
100%.
To broadcast in New Guinea.
And we literally, you know, we walked in there and they're like, what do you want to do? And I had total guesstimations, hand-drawn maps. Was it we want to try and do this? And they're like, oh, that looks great. Yes. And we're like, what do you mean yes? And they're like, yeah, you can do it anywhere you want. And so we've had that happen a couple times in our ministry where over the years, and people don't realize what a challenge that would be in America. That would be like the FCC come and say, man, we like what you're doing. You can put a station anywhere.
Not going to happen.
That's happened in the Philippines. That's happened in Papua New Guinea. And so sky's the limit with those types of things. So over the years, we worked in New Guinea, and there was five stations we helped install there. And again, when we're talking about all this stuff, I really want everybody to know that all the glory goes to God. And that's not just a phraseology that we say because we're supposed to say it. This is all God's stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you look at my pedigree, there is none. So he gets all of the glory. And also with that, we're thankful, so very thankful for the partnerships we forge. And when I say people's names, it's just because I have a lot of admiration and respect for those people. And that we just, I mean, and I mean this, get to work with these people. And some of these people, you would never know their name. Like some of these pastors in the Philippines, absolute gold, solid gold. It's like, you know, they know what they need to do to obey the Lord, and they love their people, and they're trying to reach their people. And somebody just wound them up years ago, and 20 years later, they're still serving the Lord, unbeknown to anybody on this side of the pond, and high character, high evangelism fervor for their people. And we get to work with these guys.
Yeah.
It's an absolute privilege.
So taking us back to New Guinea.
Yes, sir.
Station still on the air?
The main station is. The missionary had left. Lord called him to Washington, D.C., a story in and of itself. Mm-hmm. He's doing great there and running out of room, running maybe two services, looking to do his third service in New Guinea or in Washington, D.C. And so there's still two of the five that are on the air. One of them, you know, pastor dies here and there. So when you're doing this 20, 30 years, you kind of see the cycle of life on a ministry sometimes.
So what impact have these stations had upon the population?
Some of them, it ends up impacting people in power too. We've seen that where we know people that are business owners or politicians that have listened. We really work mostly with church planners.
Mm-hmm.
So the one in Mount Hagen, which is the flagship, definitely it's synonymous with the church there. They're definitely, the church people are the radio people, the radio people are the church people,
mm-hmm.
and it's helped, you know, birth that ministry, and, you know, they have their own building, their own property, and it's all fruit that's coming in and out of radio. I remember Brother Brad telling me one time he had a priest from another denomination call him and said, listen, I want you to know you're my pastor.
Wow.
He said, I listen to you every single day, and I repeat what you say on Sunday. And at first it made him upset. And he's like, listen, you know, this guy has trusted Christ and now he's preaching the truth. So I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Amen. Gene Sharp, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're talking about God at work and the global media outreach that is taking place. We've touched on Papua New Guinea, but friends, we're going to travel to some other countries as well to hear what God is doing there. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old is the moon?
Chris, according to evolution, the Earth and the moon are about the same age, nearly 5 billion years old. But there's a problem. We observe that the moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. If you assume that it's always been moving away, then you can calculate how close it was to Earth at some time in the past. A billion years ago, the moon would be in contact with the Earth. Scientifically, this could not be. The Bible says that on day one of creation week, God created the Earth, but it was on day four that he created the moon. They were not ever connected. Chris, it shouldn't surprise us, but the scientific information fits with the biblical information. Science supports scripture and not evolution or long ages. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To find out more about creation science, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gene Sharp, our guest today, a radio planting missionary. And friends, today we're seeing God at work, a global media outreach that is taking place. And we certainly see the ills of our society and matters that are happening around us. Friends, we praise God for how He is using Christian radio here in the States today. We see so many lives that are being impacted with the gospel message. We're seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ, believers who are going through times of struggle and challenge, who find hope and help and encouragement through God's Word and through the programming that's going forth from like VCY America, and we see lives that are being impacted, but we echo that, Gene, to God be the glory. Amen. I mean, He's the one who brings about the, we call them these, you know, divine appointments with individuals, and to know that God used, you know, skills and talents and abilities, and maybe a heart's desire, say, Lord, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, and giving you the abilities to help facilitate these. How did this trip to New Guinea impact you?
You know, I think that was early on. Again, I was still in my 20s, and I'm not in my 20s any longer. So, working with a great missionary and, you know, learning how to work with another person, that's another thing, too, because just out of Bible college, sometimes that can be difficult. That was just all learning. And I remember at the end of that, we were there for just shy of a year, and my oldest daughter was born there. In fact, she's expecting my first grandchild this week.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Lots of good memories from PNG. But as we left there, I remember saying to the missionary, I'm like, you know what? Maybe God wants us to help other missionaries put Christian radio stations in around the world. And he said, that's a great idea, but it'll never work. And he laid out all the practical stumbling blocks to sometimes a different ministry, because most of the time, and rightfully so, I believe, missions dollars are kind of directed maybe to a church planter, because I think churches have a little bit of a concern. They don't want missions to morph into something non-biblical. And that's understandable. You want, ministry isn't ministry unless you're ministering the word. So if you put a well in and don't tell anybody about Jesus, I don't know that maybe should be the best use of our money. But if you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel as you're putting a well in, now we're talking. So I just remember telling him, I said, you know what, you're probably right, but I know God wants me to do it. And it wasn't a large action of faith. I just remember thinking, God, okay, I really think you want me to try this. Even if you want me to be a good example of how not to do it, or sign me up. And so we went home and then got our bearings and started deputation and asked that churches consider us for support. And as we were going church to church, you know you're in a good church when you kind of hear the sound system make a funny noise. It seems like every good church has sound system problems. So as we were out there, I had learned those skills as an assistant pastor. And people were like, hey, can you help us? I'm like, yeah, sure. I actually don't have another meeting for 2 days. And sometimes we'd order $20,000 of equipment and install it in 2 days. And so we ended up doing more than just radio. And so we changed our name from Bible Radio Missions in the early days to Independent Baptist Media, because we were starting to do more disciplines than just Christian radio. And as we went, we just followed the Lord. And some people did have a little bit of a problem with what we did. And you know what? That's okay. I really tried to focus on not burning a bridge, though. These guys were good people. They were entitled to their opinion. And that really served me well long term, because some people who initially had a reaction of, what in the world? Come on. 10, 15 years later, would end up needing some help in an area.
Yeah.
And they would call us, and guess what? Because I wasn't a jerk like I wanted to be, we had a door, open door to help them. And glory to God for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, Scripture says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And so as you put one of these stations on the air, it's the Word of God that's being proclaimed.
That's so thrilling. That's one of my motivations that just, I love soldering wires together. And I think about that when I'm soldering. When I'm soldering an XLR connector on, or when I'm soldering in a board, I'm thinking this connection right here is connecting somebody who has the Word of God, who has the good news, with somebody who needs to hear the good news. And that, just the further you get up the signal chain, the more exciting it gets. When I get on the tower and I look out, now everything's coming through, and you know we're about to hang the antenna, and I with my eye, because most of our stations are FM, it's line of sight. So with my eye, I'm seeing every household that potentially could hear. I can see every thoroughfare that will carry passengers through our signal, and it's thrilling.
Yeah.
And I try and always do a little selfie video at the top of the tower, because I just wish everybody who loves us and listens and supports, or is even interested in media, could be there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the moment when you're like, okay, this is what it's all about. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and now it's in God's hands.
Amen.
We've done our best to try and be obedient and to connect the two, the people who need to hear with the people who know the gospel, and this is the link in the chain that excites me.
Matter of fact, you used a moniker, and I was on your website a little while ago, using technology, we mm-hmm. preach theology.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's what it is. You're using technology mm-hmm. in order to preach Christ
yeah.
and make him
We've
know.
Been afraid of that, though, and I think you alluded to kind of the status of the United States and the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our latency to embrace all tools necessary, all hands on deck type of philosophy, we've kind of been skeptical of things. And again, nobody wants to replace the local church. Nobody wants to replace the things that we believe and hold true.
Right.
But man, if it helps get the word of God out, and I think we really need to embrace that, because it's really good for me to share my faith with someone personally or from door to door. But if I could take that same message and talk not to just one person at a time, but dozens, okay,
yeah.
now we're getting there. And if I could take that same thing and hook to a transmitter, an antenna, or an internet service and talk to potential millions, I don't see the downside of that.
No, and really that's what we do in a church service,
right.
In a large auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
We use an amplification system.
100%.
And so broadcasting is using just a massive,
mm-hmm.
you know, a technology system that's going to magnify that message going out.
Yeah, another name for a transmitter is an amplifier.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same idea there. And that's why we involve ourselves with sound systems. Sometimes people help. That's probably the one I don't like the most, because sound is kind of fickle. What's good sound to somebody is not good sound to the next person, but we help because there's a need there with churches. But our primary focus is Christian radio and using these technological tools. Like some people are like, hey, can you help with my security system? No, because that doesn't help me get the gospel out.
Right.
How about my telephone? No. We really focus in on that, the transmission that's in between the need and the gospel.
Yeah.
And so the technological side of that. And this is, you know, rapidly going, and we're not even into all the disciplines we should be. But, and again, probably like you have realized at VCY America, the need isn't that there is no need, or the need isn't that there's not even maybe necessarily funding. The need is laborers. He said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. And I would say, if anybody hears what we're talking about today, maybe I would challenge you to pray for laborers.
Yeah.
Pray for laborers in these fields, for your church, for the ministries that have affected and helped you, for people like VCY America. I mean, there's so much more we could do if we had more people to be program directors, content creators, and things like that on our side of the fence. And there's a great need, because somehow the left, they've got all the labor they need, it seems like.
Yeah.
And they can immediately get their ideas, like this whole idea of transgender and these things. I mean, before this administration, there was hardly any talk of that mm-hmm. on a large scale. So we kind of know who's pulling the strings behind some of these administrations, and it's gloves off. I mean, these guys are playing for keeps.
Right.
And I think sometimes it catches us on our haunches, and we need to be more offensive instead of defensive, too.
Friends, today we want you to see how God is actively at work around the world. And, you know, sometimes we see the despair that's in this world. We see what's happening in our nation. And we want you to know that there's great hope, and mm-hmm. that great hope is in a great God. And that's who we proclaim. And VCY has been able to come alongside in this area of global missions to mm-hmm. assist in some of the projects, Gene, that you've been engaged with.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'd like you to take us to the Philippines. Help us understand the outreach that's taking place in this area that's heavily dominated by Roman Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. Well, first and foremost, thank you for your investment. I mean, VCY has been huge, especially in the Philippines Project, not exclusively the Philippines Project, but and interested in not just the United States of America. And mm-hmm. I think that, boy, that's just a biblical perspective. It's not just about our neighborhood. It is unto all the world, every creature
yeah.
at the same time, right? So VCY has been very instrumental in that, and what a blessing, and we appreciate that so much. But Philippines is another one of those total miracle things. We had done one station in the Philippines with a fellow named Lane Jones on a faraway island. Nobody has ever heard of Northern Samar. It seems if I say I'm in the Philippines, we're in Samar, people are like, where's that? And it's definitely not the main street of the Philippines, so to speak. There's 7,107 islands, and it's not as into everything. But we went there and put a sizable station on the air, and this missionary's been there for like 40 years, and
he loves those people, and he's seen great fruit from it. I mean, he's seen a lot of people of different religious affiliations come to know Christ, just hearing the purity of the gospel. And I think if you are in any religious background that has some of the facts of the gospel, if you hear the good news, it's truly good news.
Right.
And the Philippines is that way. They are heavily dominated by a very, very strong religious system that's demanding works and not giving you really any real estate in hope at the end of the day. Like, you can do this. You can actually literally on Easter be crucified there. Guys walking down the streets, beating their own flesh, making themselves bleed, trying to satisfy God's price for their sin. And when you tell them it is finished, the price is paid, it is good news.
Indeed.
And it's freeing. And so we're seeing a harvest there. And I say I'm like, literally the missionaries that have been laboring there for so long, that it's the people are open to the gospel. And so with that, we had worked with one station there in Northern Samar, and then veteran missionary Rick Martin, who's been there again in, I think, 45 years or so. And he's had a Bible college and a lot of students gone through there. I think this was 10 years ago. He had 1,500 graduates that were pastors in the Philippines, and I think 300 to 500 that were missionaries abroad. Now, he's got missionaries in Africa that are Filipino, all supported from Filipino churches. So lots of great commission thinking, but there was a small opportunity for a small station. I mean, literally, again, very humble. Like, it was a 300-watt station some guy had for sale. And he just got the equipment. But there, you never really own it until you kind of like have the frequency. So everybody's leasing from somebody else who's leasing from somebody else who finally owns it. And they were having to get something satisfied with the lease agreement on the frequency. And somebody said, why don't you just apply for your own franchise? And they call it a franchise. And, well, like, what does that involve? Well, you have to ask permission. We'll write a bill, and it has to go through both sides of our Congress and signed by the president, and then you have 25 years on your franchise. And we're like, what's that? What does a franchise entail? Well, you can put a station anywhere as long as the local MTCs say there's a frequency available. So you're saying if I got a franchise, I could put a Christian radio station in any city. Yeah.
Wow.
He applied. A couple friends, Manny Pacquiao, got involved, and legislation was signed, and we can put a Christian TV station or radio station anywhere in the Philippines as long as they're is an open frequency.
My.
So we've been working on that. And again, the laborers issue, it's us and another volunteer family, the Andrew Chafa family, just a blessing. Before that, we had the Dameron family on with us for a while, but we're very thin as far as the labor force to do this. But every step of the way, God has provided the financing, and VCY has been involved in that. And we now have 12 stations on the air covering some major population centers, and we've got many more in the works as well. So we just bought land a couple days ago in Marawi City. Marawi City is, if you look at if downtown Marawi City, looks just like Baghdad. Bombed out. There was ISIS involvement there. And now we have the opportunity to be one of the only stations on the air, not just Christian stations, one of the only stations in Marawi City.
Papua New Guinea, the Philippines, and friends, it doesn't end there. We're going to look at a few other countries here as well, and getting a picture of what God is doing around the world. And people are reached. Every one of these signals, multitudes are being reached with the gospel. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Few Americans know that in 1787, the U.S. Constitution prohibited a direct federal tax. In 1862, a revenue tax went into effect to finance the Union during the Civil War. In 1895, the Supreme Court decided an income tax was unconstitutional. In 1913, Woodrow Wilson thought that tariffs caused war, so he worked to replace them with an income tax. So how did we get to where we are today? In the book, The Interesting History of the Income Tax, author William Federer reveals that America's founders were not fond of taxes. Bill walks us through many years of history, showing us how the IRS code went from 14 pages in 1913 to many volumes today. The Interesting History of Income Tax, available for a donation of $18 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gene Sharp, our guest today. He is a radio planting missionary serving with IBM and really using technology to advance the good news of the gospel around the world. And friends, we're just getting a glimpse of what God is doing and saw the establishment of Christian broadcasting in New Guinea. I mean, the very first Christian broadcast station there put in, and the Philippines. The sky is really the limit there, Gene, as far as number of stations that could be put in and the number of people being mm-hmm. reached in the Philippines. You mentioned Baghdad a bit ago. Mm-hmm. Use it as a comparison. But you've also been engaged in Iraq.
Yes, sir. And that's another one of those situations where you're working with just a great group of people there. The pastor is Pastor Maher, just a wonderful Christian man who was an electrical engineer in his previous life. And an incredible story with Brother Edgar Fagali and how they met. I mean, it was in the middle of the war. Edgar gets in a taxi and goes from Amman, Jordan, he wants to get something going in Baghdad. And he knows when war is on, it's the greatest time to buy property. So.
Well,
he gets there and they get some property and he's praying for God to lead him and he meets this guy. And then I think it was a couple years after that Brother George Zaris with Christian Radio International says to Brother Edgar, he's like, well, why don't you try and put a radio station there? And he's like, in Baghdad? And he's like, yeah, just see what they'll say. And they did. And they said, sure. And
wow.
So I can't remember the year, but it was bombs were flying. And car bombs and stuff like that were still going on quite a bit. And they said, it's not safe for you to come. Meet us in Amman, Jordan. So we met everybody in Amman, Jordan, had all the equipment, trained Pastor Maher how to use it and put it together. And we had it modular in different boxes. You could stack up two boxes. It was basically your studio and your transmitter all right there. And showed them how to use it. Actually, you know, flipped it on for a second and showed them how to do everything there in Amman. And they took it back and hooked it up, and they're still on the air.
Praise the Lord.
And you go there now, and its studio looks like this. It's all set up, and then they've expanded. We've helped in some of the expansion, but this is one of those things where I would kind of like to be even more involved, but they've taken the ball and run with it so well, they don't even need me. You know. Mm-hmm. But they're on the air in ancient Nineveh. They're on the air in Basra. I think they're just starting a station now in Erbil, which is on the border of, near Iran. And they're actually going to do two stations there, one in Arabic, like the one they have now. They're on satellite there in that region. And they're going to also do a Farsi station. And Brother Jeremy, who we're helping this week, is going to have some programming on that as well. So,
is there Islamic opposition?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think if I could when you're in those type of regions, you just roll with people who live there. You know, I don't try and understand it because it's far too complex for somebody who's an American to get there and really understand what's going on. So you just kind of trust them. Okay, this is okay. This is not okay. But my observation is sometimes within those regions, different factions of Islam are fighting each other so much that you kind of fly under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And also they've said, I mean, they said, since you've been on the air, they came to the pastor, you have had a calming effect on the city of Baghdad and it's marked since you went on the air.
Wow.
We appreciate what you do. And the message of peace that you bring, and they actually had him come and open in prayer, and prayed in Jesus' name in the at the council, like their political council.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the times he was actually there for that, ISIS was coming down the road too, and didn't get to Baghdad, but it was all during this time. So he's had opportunity after opportunity to really bring Christ before those people. And so what we found. And I would say 75% of our stations that God has opened the door, it has been a situation where in very dire circumstances, people realize their need or have a little bit of humility in the government saying, you know, if you want to help, however you want to help, come on. You want a station in Rwanda? Knock yourself out. You want one in Uganda? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Do it. And in those times where sometimes we can be fearful to go those places, oftentimes it's the open door of the greatest opportunity
mm-hmm.
that we've found over the years. Seen that for sure.
And where God guides, he will provide.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not saying something tragic couldn't happen tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but there has been some, you know, there's been some times where they were, the pastor and his partner there picked up a van and they believe it was intended for them. They drove away from the shop and it was a bomb in the shop and it exploded and missed them and it broke all the glass in the van and got all over their face, but they survived that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a lot of things that have happened like that.
Let me just mention a few other countries, and we'll do it. We could talk half hour in every one of these countries. It's exciting. But what we're seeing, God is at work and how he's opening up the door of opportunity for lives to be reached. You solder those wires together. But if that connection is broken, Gene, you know what happens? The message stops. 100%. And so it's so critically important for the message to go forward to certainly hearts everywhere need to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Give us a word about Uganda.
Uganda was very fruitful over the years. One of the stations there was kind of a miracle. We were trying to get the station on the air, and we were working with Andrew Stensis, and all the Stensises were there. There was a dad and several kids, missionaries to Uganda. We're trying to get Andrew's station on the air, and it wasn't going to work very well from his church site. And we're like, hey, there's some mountain range right there. That'd be great. And, you know, okay, to buy land. It's just so difficult to buy land and truly get the title and truly have everybody acknowledge that that is now yours without them saying, okay, you can have it, and then just taking everything when you're... So it's an issue. You have to have fencing and security, and then you're up the road. Where's the power? And so to develop a piece of land from raw jungle to a broadcast facility is significant. And we like to own if we can, but sometimes... You know, as years have gone by, I realize sometimes leasing space is actually better because they've already got location. They've already settled it. It's their location. They've already got power and tower and security and fencing. And while we were there, we're looking at a spot. I'm like, oh, look, I can see all the way into Kenya from here. And again, that my eye affecteth my heart, and we can see all the city here, and we can see another town over there with another missionary, and we can see a long, long way from the ground, not even on the tower. And maybe we could see if this piece of property is for sale next to them. Somehow we met some guy that was there, and we're like, who owns this tower? And he gave us the guy's information, and this guy was an engineer, broadcast engineer, a great big fellow. I think he was like 6'8", and he was trained in America, so his English was incredible. And he's like, yeah, actually, I like what are you guys doing? We met with him, and he's like, this is awesome. He says, you can have space there for free. So we were on White Chicken Mountain, as it was called. on the top of White Chicken Mountain, we had, he put us with a combiner in his, like, 8-bay antenna, something just ridiculous. And we just had a little 1,000-watt transmitter there that was getting all kinds of gain. I think we had to turn it down, actually, because their FCC is like, all right, well, you're reaching half the country. So, and lots, very fruitful. They've been on the air for over a decade, I think, and they just need a new STL. We just talked to them a couple weeks ago. So Uganda is very, very fruitful, and the people are very responsive there in Uganda because they speak English. So it allows us to have a lot of maybe some programming like Creation Moments and those types of things from the United States that supplement local. I'm a big believer in local and live, though. I tell people if somebody in Germany had a great vision for reaching America and they came here and put a bunch of German programming on, it would be difficult for us to really appreciate what they're trying to do. And even if they just had a very thick accent, it's the same thing. The more it's indigenized, the better, as far as overseas, for sure. So if you get a guy there who has a burden to reach his people, and is spirit-filled, and now he has this torch, this tool, to cast abroad, to broadcast the good news, it can be very powerful. We've seen in Uganda as well, churches planted, a group of believers gather, they trust Christ as their Savior. They're 30, 40 miles from the missionary. They can't come to his church because of distance and cost, and eventually he'll send a preacher boy, and eventually they'll get a building, and eventually they'll have their own indigenous church there that was started because of Christian radio.
Wow. Well, friends, it's happening in Mexico and Liberia and other locations as well. But I do want to talk about another aspect. It's not just the radio broadcast, but it's also that of video recording studios as well and video broadcasting. Just tell us, and we've got here about 4 minutes to break here, but tell us about the work you're doing right now, because this is going to have a huge impact. But you mentioned Michael Giermy. He's been a guest here on Crosstalk before. Tell us about what you're doing and how these facilities are going to be used to advance the gospel.
Well, I think so. To start off that conversation with Brother Giermy, especially his specific situation, if you're a thinking Christian and you read the Great Commission, you're like, how in the world, right? How all the world, every creature, and how can we do that? If that's a responsibility, we might have to put our thinking cap on as well as just being spirit-led. How can we do this? And when you look into some areas of the world, it's a harder puzzle to solve. And definitely the Middle East can be difficult. with Arabic speaking people. But then there's the other layer of like Farsi speaking people. How many Farsi speaking people, Persian speaking people do you know? So, and if I'm not going to learn Persian, how are we going to preach the gospel to every creature there?
Right.
And that's where, you know, God working in Brother Jeremy's heart and his testimony, Farsi speaker and has a great burden and Bible knowledge and wants to reach his people, but you might not have the same constitutional protections and freedom to do that. How do we solve that? And that's where what we're doing now is it comes into play. We're assisting him by helping him to install cameras and microphones and soundproofing and all of that stuff, all the physical electronic things that he needs to record a very high quality broadcast. And we're working with a ministry called Christian Media International. And Brother Eddie Wilson, some of these are just business people that say, we want to do Great Commission. And so their method of operation is they help install recording studios at strategic locations where missionaries and preachers can come, record the gospel, and then they broker deals with satellite providers to put their television program on local stations as well as regional stations via satellite and internet. Hmm. And we're looking forward to some great things. Again, thinking of the Great Commission, how can we reach Persian-speaking people? This is one way to do it. Not a be-all, end-all, but it certainly checks a box for us to get the gospel to people who need to hear it.
And Brazil is another location.
Yes, sir.
We've been able to set up studios for video recording.
Brazil, and we've also worked in Egypt and in India. The one in India is supposed to be recording, I think, up to 6 or 8 different indigenous languages for that region. And we're, Lord willing, going to be going back to India in the next 12 months or so to do an additional studio in another region. We could talk about that at some point, but India, if you want to get a burden for the need of the gospel, just take a summer vacation trip there and just look. Just try and find any evidence of Christianity, and you'll almost always come up empty. Hmm. The need is staggering in India.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gene Sharp, our guest today, and we've got a website as well. People can learn more about ibmradio.org.
Yes, sir.
Or .com.
.com, yes, sir.
ibmradio.com is the website. You can learn more about the work, but we are just trying to broaden our horizons a bit here today in the program because we are very myopic in the needs that are around us. We see the spiritual issues, but really, to see worldwide that the fields are white unto harvest and people need to be reached with the gospel message. And through media, broadcasting has been a tremendous tool to reach many with the gospel message.
And, you know, I'm the type of guy that all I need to do is be on the tower and see it. And that's enough for me to just keep on going.
Yeah.
But it's nice to hear some results sometimes. And we have had fruit over the years, and we don't get to hear every piece of fruit. But the iceberg ministry that is Christian radio or Christian media, you get to hear the tip of the iceberg every once in a while and know that it represents people that never do call in, that never do write in, that have been reached. But we can maybe talk about that later. But some important people that we would say important, and some people that have had incredible testimonies, have trusted Christ and had their lives changed through media and radio around the world.
Friends, a quick break. And also, we're opening our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today or a brief comment, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. We're very fond here at Worldview Weekend of saying that when we don't understand the Bible or when we see something in the Bible that we can't really explain, we just need to be patient and wait. We might be at one of those moments because we are now hearing from Dr. Rob Linstead about a man named Jim Barfield. Jim seems to maybe have discovered a large cache in Qumran. This would be 56 caves. It could even be what is known as Solomon's Mines. Trillions and trillions of dollars in gold and silver and other jewels. He's on an exploration and he is scanning with gigantic metal detectors, and it's quite interesting. Now, what does this have to do with the Bible? Ezekiel 38 says that the enemies of Israel invade her for her treasure. And you know what's listed in the passages there? Gold and silver. So folks, when we don't understand the Bible or see it happening yet, stay tuned, be patient. The Bible will come to pass.
Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Gene Sharp. We're seeing today God at Work, Global Media Outreach. Gene is a radio planting missionary who God has equipped and has given him skills that has been able to put these to use. And Gene has said, we need more laborers. We need more people that will go out in the field. Friends, as we mentioned, the fields are white unto harvest. Many people need to hear the good news, but for lack of laborers. And friends, we see that happening on so many different fronts here in the United States as well as around the world as well. So no doubt we've got a lot more countries and other things to discuss, but we're also going to pick up some calls here. We have Kathy calling in from Wisconsin. And Kathy, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
You talked just exactly about what I was going to say. I was going to remind people that Jesus told us, yes, the harvest is white, but to pray for laborers. Mm-hmm. And we need to do that.
Indeed. Indeed.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you for raising that issue. And sometimes friends were saying, well, what can I do? Pray.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray
mm-hmm.
that God would raise up the laborers to go and minister in this regard.
And we could prepare the soil, too, for laborers, too, and things like that. We can tell our kids, hey, you know, if God would to touch your heart, it would be okay with mom and dad that you would do something like that. And also in the laborers thing, what a blessing it is that I have a wife and a companion and kids that are just as crazy as I am. They'll get on a plane and go anywhere. And my son, who's a year and a half, has been to Philippines twice and been to Brazil and been to Egypt and been to about 25 states. And you got to have that teamwork to make this vision play out.
Douglas is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Douglas, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just wanted to ask your guests if I know a fair amount about the Philippines, that they that while they do have common use tribal they do have local dialects in use, but they're also very English fluent, enough so that the primary language is actually more of a hybrid between Tagalog and English. So do you do most of your broadcasting in the Philippines in local dialects or in English or in Taglish?
Well, basically, what we provide them kind of a starter pack of things that they can use, and not every place responds to every program from the United States the same. So they're free to use whatever we provide them, but the local people there, each one of these stations is local. I would like to actually have seen it more of a satellite-oriented feed, but every station that we put on, every one of those 12 stations is their own entity, and so some of them are speaking Cebuano. Some of them are speaking Tagalog, Visayan, Ilonggo. And some of these are very similar, but the locals know the difference. And if you want to be in the local club, you really need to at least reference that. And so most of the time, the announcers and preachers, they do a hybrid. They'll do, they may greet you in Tagalog, preach in Ilonggo, and then throw some English in. Say a phrase in English and then turn talk right there and say it in Ilonggo. So it becomes a hybrid, which is the Philippines. The Philippines is definitely a mashup of culture and ideas. And so that labyrinth is also reflected in how we broadcast.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Douglas. Let's go to Julie next, Pensacola, Florida. Julie, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, I believe that you had said something that you have a radio ministry in Washington, D.C., and I wanted to know what the success rate is in reaching some of these politicians or even just the normal people that are living there, because our country is really falling apart.
Well, we do not have one of the persons we worked with in New Guinea is starting a church there. I wish we'd actually talked about doing some radio there, and he still has a vision and a burden to actually get on the air there. Extremely difficult to get on the air in Washington, D.C., but as far as ministry potential there, amazing how open the people are. And they're in a very, like the neighborhood that the church is in, his ministry specifically, it's Graceway Baptist Church. He is targeting Capitol Hill. He's like, everybody goes to D.C. and then ends up in the outskirts and reaches just conservative people who drive in. They're there, and sometimes they'll share the gospel in a park or open air. They pray every Saturday night. You can find their church congregation on the steps of the Supreme Court having a prayer meeting with a little tiny speaker and guitars, singing hymns and having a full-on prayer meeting. And reaching a lot of people that are on the floor of the Senate every single day, the floor of the House every single day, people that are writing laws, are members of his church, people that are generals and people that, you know, don't even want to name drop these people because it's he's reaching important people there. So the gospel still works, and they're in a very heavily, like, their neighborhood is known for being very pro-transgender and everything else. So they're right there sharing the gospel, having Christmas concerts, passing out gospel literature, and they're seeing fruit. And in fact, that they're going to two services there. So I think there's hope in that. The gospel still works.
Yeah, indeed it does. And thank you, Julie, for the call. And also keep in mind, friends, that there are these congressmen and senators travel back to their home districts, too,
yes,
where there's a plethora of Christian broadcasting, and be praying for that. I'm going to squeeze one last call in. Zane in Stone Creek, Ohio. Zane, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say the how much admiration I have for you, Gene, and what you do. I heard about you through Brother Dave Weirich of Clean Air, and I just find it so fascinating to the point I wrote an essay for my college class this year on what you do and the impact of Christian radio ministry around the world. My professor had never actually heard of that, so then my professor rewrote the curriculum to include that for next year and then told me about it.
Praise
the Lord. I thought that was really cool, and I really appreciate you and your work.
Praise God.
Well, amen.
All the glory to the Lord, and we're so thankful for our supporters and the people that we get to work with, and to the Lord for allowing us to have any type of ministry or potential for His glory. Praise
Zane,
God.
Zane, thank you so much for your call. We've run out of time for calls. Down to just half a minute.
Okay.
God is at work. Would
Amen.
You agree?
God is at work, and I think our the only weakness is our and you talked about links in the chain, and the soldering link was broken. I think the biggest missing link sometimes is us sharing the gospel personally, mm-hmm. us involving ourselves in thinking of how we can share the gospel corporately better. And God's not dead. The gospel has power, but we need to get after it. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. Gene, thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Gene Sharp with us here today, radio planting missionary with IBM, Independent Baptist Media, and taking the gospel around the world using the means of technology to do so. Friends, even as we go off the air today, pray for your local Christian broadcast station that God would use it to reach the hearts of many with the good news of Jesus Christ. God bless you, folks. Thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.